Hey, it's Brian.
And hey, it's Murdoch. Welcome to Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories.
It's a bonus episode where we crack open the mailbox and read what you've been sending us. You get to us in all sorts of ways. We are thestoryguys at gmail.com. You might write to us on Instagram, /rock and roll bedtime stories, Facebook. You know, we appreciate all the comments.
Slide into our DMs if you don't want to send a conventional email or post a review wherever you listen to the show.
And you know, wearethestoryguys.com is also a place you can get in touch with us. That's what Carl did. He was commenting on a recent, I think it was another bonus episode, actually, where we got to talking about the CD long boxes. Yeah. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And he says, point of order on the CD long box.
I'm ready.
It did have a practical purpose in theory. It was developed to facilitate display of CDs in record stores because the long box allowed for CDs to go in the same bins where they used to put vinyl records.
It's just with space.
Minimal conversion for the store's shelves. So this was a practical concern. That's really interesting. Man. I guess, I mean, that makes sense.
Carl, nailing it.
he's
like, oh, it's taking up the environment with climate change. Everything sucks. Cows are farting. CD cases are terrible. But no, that actually was...
Meanwhile, it was a corporation trying to save money. So, you know...
Here's just to make sure the space looks good.
He goes on to say, also, if you were buying a crap ton of CDs in the late 80s, you could cut off the front of the long boxes and tape them to the wall of your college dorm room. I'm sure... it sounds like Carl knows nothing about that personally.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to know what his college dorm room looked like. We've talked about your bedroom before when you were a kid and like what posters were in there.
Yeah.
I remember Samantha Fox specifically. That sticks in my mind.
And then just rock and roll stuff. Yeah. Heather Locklear.
I had
girls.
What did I have in my dorm room? I think there was a Weezer poster, maybe an Incubus poster. I mean, listen, I went to college in 2001.
Yeah,
don't hold that against me.
I had Sonic Youth, and I had a Styx poster that,
like STYX.
Uh huh. That came in. I bought a record at a secondhand record store, and there was a Styx poster that did not belong into the non-related Styx artist album. So I just got a bonus Styx poster. And it was real funny looking. And I had a I forget what it's called, the creepy place in New Orleans where you go, whatever. I had this, you know, skull and crossbones poster. And then on one of those, and then had you put use like a highlighter so when I turned on the black light it did that. Oh yeah, and I had the Stairway to Heaven Led Zeppelin black light poster. And then the front door, which was long, I had like a 6 foot tall, fat Elvis poster. So our door,
I killing it. In my first apartment, so that was my dorm room. My first apartment, I believe in my bedroom, I had a poster of Good Charlotte, the entire band.
I can't believe how different our ages are.
Whatever. You love Good Charlotte.
No, I do, and have seen them, and they're great. I just, the first thing I remember even hearing about them was that what the singer was dating.
Oh, yeah, but I was a
someone.
Fan. I was a fan before that. That's when they hit peak MTV there in the early 2000s.
And they were like dating superstars.
Yeah, one of them, I mean, they may still be married to different. You know, famous females. I can't even remember. I can't keep any of that straight. Anyway, Carl, thank you for that. That was very nice.
Yes.
Also, we are thestoryguys@gmail.com. That's where we heard from Matt. He writes the show to say, hey guys, I grew up in Australia in the 80s, and he sends us this clip of this song that would play directly before play school and Bananas in Pajamas on Australian TV. But it is a Dio song. Do you know about this?
Oh, I do.
Tell me all about this. What is this?
This is the most gorgeous song. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say other than it is so pretty. The first time I heard it, I was like, it's like, it was in a movie or something. It's like, man, when I heard that, it was like the first time I heard the Beatles. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I wish I had grown up hearing this song before I went to school.
And like, so it's actually Ronnie James Dio singing,
and it's like a march if you listen to,
and it's this like cartoon with these frogs walking around and like a wizard ant, and This is this is wild stuff, man.
Yeah, after we did our Dio episode, I accidentally hit that at some point.
You're like, how high am I right now? This is very...
I might have been, but the point being is that, wow, it's such a happy song for children.
I appreciate you sending that to us. That is... That's amazing, man. And it is funny how those things float culturally, right? Like,
yeah.
That's an Australian thing.
Yeah, right. And it's not like, you know, you see that, you get to hear that at all. And, you know, if you put it together with other people that really like Dio, like, tell me how that song isn't in, like, your top five Dio songs.
Yeah. Okay, so we could also reach out to us via reviews. It is very helpful. If you enjoy the show and you got a minute, leave a review. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Go to wherever you listen to the show and write a few words. This one comes from Chris M., a.k.a. Jake. All right, man. You can have two names. He gives us 5 stars. He calls it, in the subject line, the greatest podcast about rock and roll. And he says, this is the greatest podcast slash show around about rock and roll, period. Perhaps one of the most exciting aspects of the show is just when you think they've covered it all, there's a brand new episode. that's nice. Their research is consistently thorough, and the time they put into each episode to get it right is impressive, to say the least. I constantly learn about rock and roll each week from listening to Brian and Murdoch. I love the format. I laugh constantly with them while listening to their discussions and always feel like I'm part of the conversation.
Gosh, I have trouble with compliments. That was a lot of them.
Murdoch's so uncomfortable right now.
I'm like, thanks. Thanks for all the feelings. That
yeah,
was great.
No, yeah, you know, we have a good time making the show, but it is nice to hear that other people really enjoy it. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's the reason why we started it, so we could do this and talk to other people about, you know, versus being the annoying people at the party that don't talk to anybody and we just talk about these things by ourselves.
Yeah, I remember we used to get in trouble when we worked together. I often say this when talking about the beginning of the show, that people would be like, dude, you got to go do stuff instead of you guys just sitting there talking about Ronnie James Dio for 45 minutes. We're like, cool, we'll just record this 45 minutes and make it our own thing.
Yeah.
See ya.
And look what we did.
So this comes from Justin. Justin says, hey, I recently found Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories and have been enjoying the show, except for the episodes that I cringe and recoil from because I wish I didn't know something that you just presented to me.
Yeah, sorry.
That's funny. Yeah. That said, I've been listening to them all. When listening to the episode about the Amen break, so this was like a bonus episode very early, like in the first 40 episodes, I think, in the first year of the show. It brought to mind the Apache break that I learned about recently watching a documentary called Sample This, The Birth of Hip Hop.
Oh,
do you know
yeah.
about the Apache break?
Yes, I do. And I watched that. I watched the same thing, and it was amazing. And I didn't know about it until I watched that.
Yeah, he says they're very similar, maybe only a snare drum hit away from each other. From what I can figure, the release years of the records they are on are just a few years apart, yet they both seem to get the same accolades. That is, they are a huge influence to hip-hop, and they are widely sampled. I suppose they can both exist in the same space, but they are so similar that I thought if people like you and me are interested in one of the breaks and its impact on music, we're probably good to know about the other one. I apologize if you already spoke about this on the podcast. We did not.
We didn't. And that documentary, that is some must-see TV. It's really well done.
Very nice. Thank you for that note as well. Really appreciate that.
For reals.
Hey guys, just recently discovered the show, and as soon as I saw that Nothing But a Good Time was source material, I was in.
Oh, it's a friend. It's a friend of ours.
So we should talk about this. I hope that is from Sean in the UK. He's listening in London.
Oh, awesome. Hey, Sean.
So that is the book that we reference a lot by Tom Bajor and Richard Beanstock, who were on the show early on, I think, in those first 50 episodes again, to talk about, specifically they joined us to talk about Poison and Guns N' Roses, but we reference and borrow from that book a lot because it is an oral history which just has tons of interviews with people from that era. So when we talk about Winger, we featured it prominently. When we've talked about all kinds of folks.
We talk about Vito Bratta, the guitar player from White Lion, for FFS. We talked to those guys.
I think you were out of the country, maybe, when you texted me and said, oh my God. You broke international texting boundaries to make sure that I knew.
Yeah, I did. So I was somewhere, and I was in between somewhere, and I saw that and sent that to you immediately.
So, the news here is that there is a, I believe it's Paramount Plus.
It's a series.
Yeah. Doing a series based on the book.
Yes.
So you know that will be must-see TV for us, though most of it will be information. Probably just be in review phase for us as many times we've read that book. I have, how many copies of that book do I have? At least three? I have so many copies of that book. People give me copies of that book because they know how much I love it and need it.
Do you have an extra copy now?
Yeah.
I need to take an extra copy with me.
All right. Yeah.
I know someone that really wants it.
Multiple copies of that book because it's a beautiful, gorgeous thing. Speaking of beautiful, gorgeous books, we talk about this from time to time, but we do have, one of the great things about hosting a podcast specifically about rock and roll is that occasionally people who make rock and roll things will call you and say, hey, we have this book or this thing that we want you to check out, right? And so I did find, I think I mentioned this before, but months ago we were given a copy of the Kiss at 50 photo book, which I know our listenership, they've written about because they want your opinion on it.
It is that close to me. I can see it.
And you've been staring at it longingly, like, I'd rather not talk to you anymore. I'd rather just look at this book. So you can take that home with you. But that is a beautiful beautiful bunch of just, photos and memorabilia and stuff all cataloged there. All right. If you want to get involved in the show, remember, it's wearethestoryguys@gmail.com. And then all those ways, you can leave us a review anywhere where you download the show. You can hit us on Instagram, /rock and roll bedtime stories. And if you got a few extra bucks, you want to throw it on Patreon, we've got a new conversation up there recapping just some of the most hilarious stories of Murdoch's recent vacation to Cyprus, which is a place. So check that out, patreon.com/rock and roll bedtime stories. And until next time,
keep telling stories.